Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, September the 25th, 2011.
Well, stand with me, and we're going to begin tonight with the song, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart.
What a wonderful change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. What a joy for my soul.
Ensemble, if they would come and share with us.
Forever God is faithful, forever God is faithful. most glorious, the Ancient of Days. Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thy angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, oh help us to see.
Is faithful. I love that song. A lot of truth there in the lyrics tonight. We're going to take the offering toward the end of the service tonight for the Andersons, but a couple more songs. One of them we sang this morning right during the dismissal, but I wanted to remind you of that one and then another one that we learned a few weeks ago entitled At the Cross. But let's sing this first one together. It's Falling from the Clouds.
It's falling from the clouds, a strange and lovely sound. I hear it in the thunder and the rain. It's ringing in the skies like cannons in the night. The music of the universe plays. We're singing, you are. Still you love me.
Thank you, Fred. Well, we're so glad to have the Andersons to come share their ministry about Peru. And I tried to get them to talk about Brazil this morning, but they've insisted they feel more confident talking about Peru. So we'll ask Rick and his wife to come now.
Thank you. I did tell Pastor if I was to give an update about Brazil, it'd be really fast, really quick, because I don't know that much about Brazil. But my name is Rick Anderson. I asked my wife, Kathy, to stand for a moment. It's my wife, Kathy. And we are missionaries supported by this church to Peru. I apologize that my girls are not with us. We have four girls. And the last time we were here, which we were trying to figure out, it was probably 9 or 10 years ago, they would have been really, really small. Our youngest ones are 10 years now, so if it was 9 or 10 years ago, we know they were all four here, so they would have been either not walking or just barely walking when they were here. Some people came up when we were here this morning and said they remembered us and our girls that were here, so thank you for your memory. It's a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to be one of your missionaries in Peru. And Pastor, thank you for the opportunity to give an update and share a little bit about Peru and where we are. One thing that we appreciate about this church is that for the last few years, we've gotten some cards, little appreciation cards, where I believe it's Sunday school classes have gotten together and written, each one written a little statement on a card and sent it to us. And it was exciting because the first time we got them, it was kind of a surprise. They were like, oh, this is neat. And we, instead of reading all the way through them, what we did is we took them, and at our breakfast time, we'd get together and we'd eat our breakfast. But before we ate our breakfast, we'd stop and we'd read one of the cards and read what it had to say, and then pray for the person that had written it. And then, so it took us a little while to get through the cards. And then when we got them again, we did the same thing. But it's nice that you guys think about us and take the time to write a note, and that we appreciate that. And our girls enjoyed it, working through there and praying for some of you guys. And it'd be nice to have a picture with that, but it's nice to have a name at least that we can pray for somebody as you go in. I'd like to take a passage of the Bible and not do so much as a sermon, but use it almost as an outline as I'm sharing a little bit of what God has allowed us to do in Peru. So if you take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16, passage, a great commission by Jesus for us. And I'd like to read it and then go back through it and just use it almost like an outline for sharing a little bit about what we've been able to do in Peru. So Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. Matthew 28, verse 16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Verse 18, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Very familiar passage, especially come from this church. We know it's a very mission-minded church. And be sure to realize that and take advantage of that. I grew up in a church that wasn't real mission-minded. We would take up offerings for missions, but it wasn't until I was in high school that I for the first time had a missionary come to our church and show their presentation. And it impacted me. And I know coming from this church, you guys have missionary conferences and have missions come through. And so it's something that I didn't have as I was growing up. I didn't go to a missions conference until I went off to college. And it had a huge impact in my life. But in these verses, the first part is, go ye therefore. With that, God has called my wife and I and our girls to go to Peru, South America. And I wish I had pictures to show you. I'll talk a little bit about why I don't have any pictures here a little bit later. But in short, we were very busy right up until the day we left, and we were very sick as we left, and the last thing I even thought about was trying to put together some kind of presentation. So I apologize, no pictures, I'll just talk through it. And next time, and next 10 years when we come, who knows, I'll try to have a presentation for you. So, but God called us to go to Peru, and we have been had the privilege to be there as your missionaries for the last 7 years. We left 8 years ago. We took 1 year and we went to Costa Rica so that I could try to learn Spanish and then go on to Peru. So we've been in Peru for 7 years. Kathy grew up in Peru as a missionary kid, and so she knew Spanish, and it was good for her because we went to Spanish, Costa Rica for Spanish school. She was able to be with the girls. If you remember, they were very small when we left. And so she was able to take care of the girls, and I went and learned Spanish. And that is, I could easily say that's one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. I'm still doing it. I'm still learning Spanish. And if you come and talk to me in Spanish, you'll hear, you'll tell that I'm still struggling some with it. I've been there for 7 years. You should have this down by now. But it's rough. It's tough on me. Part of it is a lot of the ministry that I do is in English, which goes against learning Spanish also. But go ye therefore, that's a commandment for us, a commandment to go and share the gospel with others. And in our case, God called us and led us and directed us and supported us through your support and prayers and sent us to Peru. And it's been a privilege to be there. And so this evening, I'd like to give you kind of an update of what we've been doing and what God has allowed to happen in Peru for us. Look at verse 18 again. Verse 19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Go ye therefore and teach. One of the things, now, I'm going to be talking about teaching a little bit later, but what I'd like to use here is teach all nations. Focus on the idea of all nations. We had the privilege to go to Peru, but one of the things that has been awesome in Peru is that the focus, the emphasis that we have in Peru is missions. Wait, you're missionaries. Yes, we're missionaries in Peru, but we've been able to be involved in a church, be involved in a school that the focus is missions and sending missions to other countries. In 2007, I believe it was 2007, there was an earthquake in Peru, in the southwestern part of Peru. And we were in our house, and it started to shake, and our house is built on a hill. If you ever come to visit us, it's on a hill, and you think earthquake, it's like, where do you go? If you go outside, the mountain's outside, it's going to fall on you. If you stay inside, the house is going to fall on you. So it's kind of one of those houses that you're like, okay, if there's a big earthquake, where do you go? Well, our safe place is under our stairs, which they tell you not to go under your stairs. That's one of the least safe places in a house. You don't get under a stairway because of the way the house is built. But our house is all concrete, and that it turns out to be one of the safest places in the house is under our stairway. So earthquake drill is everybody jumps up, goes down the stairs really easy, and then gets under the stairs and waits. And so we're sitting there, and it shook for about 2 minutes, which doesn't sound like a long time, but when you're sitting there and everything's going around, and 2 minutes is a long time. And I remember watching our front doors are all glass, and just watching that glass just go wah, 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 and I just knew it was going to shatter. It was intimidating. It was a little scary for me. Used to I could sleep through the earthquakes. After that, Kathy said I'd wake up for the least little thing and run down, but it was an earthquake. We've taken that, and they're still recovering from it down where it was hit the hardest. We were hundreds of miles away from it. Where it hit the hardest, even now, they're still recovering from it. But we took that idea of the earthquake, and we've taken it as our focus on missions. And the focus, and we emphasize it at our school, is that our goal is that by 2050, that Peru would be the epicenter of missions. The idea that the epicenter is where the earthquake is. And then from there, the ripples of the earthquake are felt as far as it'll reach. The idea is that from Peru, we could take and have Peru be the epicenter of missions. The United States has had a great honor and privilege to be an epicenter of missions. But in a way, that's starting to die down a little bit. And the reason I say that is for me, as an American, to go to, say, one of the 1040 window countries, it would be very difficult for me to get into the country. It would also be very difficult for me to be accepted as in the country and accepted for what I'm going to teach. Why? Because I'm an American. Where we've seen that the Latin people, the Latin countries, they have open doors to get into a lot of these countries that are closed to a lot of Americans or European countries. And we've been able to see that and actually send missionaries out to some different countries. We have just recently, out of our church, sent a lady to Asia. She's gone to China, but she's gone to Asia, and she is going there and as a missionary. And you can't go to China as a missionary, but she has in her background a little bit of family and a name that's Chinese, and so she has an open door to get there. So right now she's learning the language, but she's already having contact and opportunities to share the gospel. We have another lady that's in India, and she's been in India for 7 or 8 years. She's been there for quite a while. But open door to go to India and share the gospel. We had another lady that was in India for many years, also working with some different ministries. But our focus, our goal is to try to push, teach missions, and send out a lot of the Latin America's Peruvian people to these other countries and take the gospel with them into other countries, and it works. As a school, we have some graduates now that have graduated and are in college, and their focus, their plan is to actually get into missions, and that's exciting for us to see the result, to see the end result of some different people. Let's see, I lost my place here. Hold on just a moment. Okay. Also, in Peru, we've had the opportunity to take and do missions in Peru. One example is there's a person, his last name is Chow, and he has gone to the jungle of Peru, sent by our church. He's a motocross champion of South America, and so he races motorbikes. And so he went as a missionary over to this area, but everybody in Peru knows him and is very familiar with him. So he's been able to take that and use that as starting a church. And so basically they have their church service, and then they go race bikes afterwards. And they have all kinds of different races, and he usually wins. His daughter also was a champion in her age group also, but they take it and use that as an opportunity. They'll race, and he'll turn around and preach, and a lot of people have saved. You go to this church, and it's a whole bunch of motorbikes pull up for the church service. And so different opportunities, different ways to minister. The church that we're involved with, which is Tom's church, Kathy's dad, they're in Peru, they now support 19 different missionaries, and a lot of those in Peru, and then some in other countries. But I just wanted to mention and focus on the missions just for a minute, because a lot of times you think of missions as just going to another country, but the whole focus of missions is to go to that other country, not stop there, but take it and go on and lead it a little bit further, take it on to the next level. In verse 18 again, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to jump ahead here just a moment. One of the ministries we had an opportunity to be involved in is La Molina Christian Schools. And part of the ministry I have is teaching the schools. But the idea of baptizing. In our church, we don't have baptismal services every week, but we'll basically stack them up and then have a baptismal service. And sometimes baptize 25, 30, 40 people at a time. But almost every time we have a baptismal service, there's students from our school that are getting baptized. There's parents from the students of our school that are getting baptized. And so the ministry that we've been involved in is very fruitful. There are a lot of opportunities for people to get saved and to be baptized. I had the opportunity, the privilege of baptizing my second daughter, Krista, when she got baptized. And so I basically baptized, they had a baptismal service, and then I took over and baptized all the ones from the school. And it was one after the other, after the other, after the other, and one of them being my daughter, and that was a privilege. And then I had the privilege of baptizing my two youngest daughters another time, but that time I just kind of went in and just, as dad, baptized my two girls also. But I've had the privilege to baptize all four of my girls. And I never thought when I was younger that that would be a possibility, but God has blessed in different ways. So baptism, definitely part of the commission and part of something that we've been involved in and able to do. And then verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Teaching. It has turned out that this has become part of my main ministry in Peru. And I said I jumped forward because I mentioned the school a little bit. We have had the opportunity to go there and work with La Molina Christian Schools, which I believe Kathy's brother Andy Pace is the director, and he's been here at this church and given a presentation there. But one of the parts of my ministry is to teach Bible in high school. And I remember in high school thinking that the last thing I would ever want to do is teach, especially high school. I was like, there's no way I'll ever teach high school. But here I am teaching high school, and I love it. If it was English, I'd probably struggle with it, but I'm teaching Bible. What an opportunity. And it's discipleship. I get to work with these high school students and walk through them with doctrine. And it's not all saved kids. A lot of the kids the church reaches are not saved, and so I can take them and talk about just walking through doctrine is talking about what the Bible teaches about the Bible, about God, then about Christ and salvation. And it's just day after day giving them the gospel. And it's exciting to see the ones that are challenging me, you know, questioning me, but have the Word of God as our foundation that we can take and we can teach them with. The school, La Molina Christian Schools, has turned out to be a very powerful church planting ministry in South America. I think more so than they ever imagined. You think of a Christian school, and I know you have a Christian school here, and it's a church planting ministry. In Peru, it's surprised everybody. We have people that, because they want a good academic situation for their kids, will come and put their students in our school, not really knowing what Christian school is. And then we've had testimony after testimony about kids getting saved, and then parents getting saved, and then aunts and uncles getting saved, and grandparents getting saved, and it's not just one or two, it's testimony after testimony. And I want to share just a couple of those testimonies with you. There's a family, the Petites, Eduardo and Monica Petit, and they came to our school and they put their daughter in P3. And they put her in the school with, or preschool, they put her in school with us. And they, again, they had no idea what a Christian school was with them. But basically, for an example, they were invited at one point to a late night couples Bible study, and they came ready to party. that was before we got there. We're not sure what all they brought, but they it's a late night evening get together. All right, we're going to bring some stuff for the party. And found out that's not the kind of party they were going to have. But this family, in the long run, they got saved. Started with the kids in school, and then the parents got saved. And today, Monica is our admission supervisor. So I work with her at the school, and she's a wonderful Christian. They're very active in the church together. And when you hear her testimony, it's kind of like, oh yeah, you're one of the ones that got saved. Because you would think they've been there forever, and they have. But it's all started because they put their child in the school, and they got saved. So she's our admission supervisor. Eduardo, the dad, is the treasurer of the church and one of the deacons, and has been one of the deacons for many years. Monica's mom, so the grandparent now, very active in church and very active at our pregnancy crisis care center. And it goes on. This is just one family. We could take others and look at it. Another example, Mildred, the mom, and her kids, Ali and Sophia. They put Sophia in the school in P3. And put her in school, not really knowing what's happening. But one day, they went out to eat, and Sophia basically said, they were getting ready to eat at a restaurant or something like that. And Sophia said, wait, Mom, we need to pray. And she's like, okay. So she prayed. And then, I don't know if it was the same day or later, but basically the little girl said, do we go to church? We need to. And so that basically got the mom thinking, okay, we're going to go to church. You know, here's my daughter, you know, saying we need to go to church. Okay, and so she got involved in the church, and she got saved. And then her daughters also have gotten saved, and they're growing very much. Another, Rocio Ataca, she put her sons in school, again, not knowing what she was getting into. But one day, in a conversation talking to her son, she said, so how's religion class? How's your religion class? And the son said, we don't have religion class. We just have Bible class. And the mom said, what? You don't have religion? So she went to school, stomping into the director's office, and, you know, what's happening here? Where's my religion class? And so that kind of parent, but all, you know, trying to figure out what's happening, and Bible was religion, and got the opportunity right there as opportunity to share and explain what we are as a school. And it's funny because as they join the school, they basically sign a statement that explains what we are and what the doctrine of the school is and what the curriculum teaches. And then we can turn around and show them, look, this is what we have. But it's more, it's just an open door for sharing the gospel with them. Let's see. Yeah, so that's that one. Out of the church, earlier this year, Tom, Kathy's dad, went through his role. He runs about 650 in church. Went through the role and basically to check off, mark, and see how many of the people in the school were direct result, or in the church, were direct result of the school. And he came up with this number, and it was basically 25% of his church was a direct result of the school. That if it hadn't been for the school, that wouldn't have been there. And that's just a picture of what a powerful church planting ministry this is. And that's just one church. The school feeds, you might say feeds, basically four independent Baptist churches in the area. And you could turn around and check on their roles too and see how many people are involved in the different churches. But it's turned out to be an open door for sharing the gospel. Another aspect that I like to mention is that it's geared towards the middle upper class. And I mentioned that I'm not sure if I mentioned that or not in Sunday school. But basically, the school and the church are not geared towards the lower class, which a lot of ministries, when you go to a third world country, a lot of the focus, because that's where a lot of the need is most evident, is to the lower class. But just how it worked out when Tom got the church started in Lima, the focus was on the upper class. And it's turned out to be an amazing thing because it's geared towards the middle upper class. So is the school geared towards the middle upper class. And what had happened is when the upper class or middle class would get saved, there was no church for them to go to. They put their faith and trust in Christ, and then they'd go once to a church, and they wouldn't go back, basically because they were going with their gardener or their maid. And they wouldn't go to church with their gardener and their maid. And so this church focused towards the upper class, and as they get saved, it gives them a place that they can go. And once they're saved, it's no problem for the gardener and the maid to come to their church because it breaks down the prejudice. But they wouldn't go the other direction. And it's opened up doors in the middle upper class. If you go to door-to-door visitation, you don't find people there. You will talk to the gardener, or you'll talk to the maid, or basically just the intercom. And there's no way to get in to these families. But the school has opened up doors that we could never imagine that we would be able to open up. We've had opportunity to work with some people in the government, very high up in the government, because their students were in our school. We could approach them as a teacher. I could call them into my office. I could invite them to our house. We could do different things with them. We would never be able to do otherwise. But God has definitely used it as an open door to the middle upper class. And that's one of the reasons it's so powerful in Peru, in the area there. Now, we have had the opportunity to work with some lower class areas, and we continue to. For over a year, I had an opportunity to basically preach and lead a church in Manchai, which is one of the lower classes, and it was an honor. Just recently, we went back to visit and do a lesson there also, one of the services. But God is definitely blessing with us in Peru. One other testimony, we had a young man that went through our school. He came in high school, so he didn't go all the way through. And his parents were Christians, and they were missionaries to Peru, working with Word of Life camp ministries. But he came, and he basically finished out high school in our school and had a very good testimony, testimony in his life. Well, he left, graduated, and then recently he went down to Argentina to go to school, and he was killed in a motorcycle accident. And tragic, just devastated us and our school and everything like that. But it was also at the same time very exciting because of his testimony and who he was, a very positive influence on others, even in his death. He had just written a paper on Christ, Christology, and they basically took that and read it at his funeral as a sermon, a very powerful message about Christ and who Christ is. And he had recently sung a song also about heaven and different things like that. But he died in Argentina. They had the funeral things in Argentina. But even in Peru, we had services for him, and hundreds of people went. And as a teacher that had him in my class, and, you know, struggled with him a little bit, it's just exciting to see God working in these different people and the different things that they are able to do. With the school, anytime I have a chance to share any information about our school, I want to put a plug in there for teachers. We're always looking for teachers. If you're a teacher or have teaching experience, talk to me. Give me your information. We can get you down to Peru. We ask that you come down and invest a few years in our students. One of the drawing points for our school is that it's bilingual. And so the lower grades, and all the way up in high school, a lot of it's taught in English. Most of the lower grades, first, second, P3, that grade, everything's taught in English, except for Peruvian history or Spanish. As you get into high school, less and less is taught in English. But one of the drawing points for the school is that native English-speaking people teach it. And so there's a plug if you're interested in teaching. I hate to pull teachers from your school here, but hey, think about investing a couple years in Peru. but it's exciting to see what's happening there. Another ministry in teaching that we've had opportunity to work with, we're leading up a youth group out of our church, and we call it Alta Ruta, which is the high route, the high road. And it's a challenge for, it's a youth group for 11th grade through 13-year-olds. And this year, we've averaged about 30 to 40 students every week. And it's awesome. We have a good foundation, good source of students coming out of the school, but we also take students from our church and other churches. But we work there. We've had other groups come from other schools, get involved in that group, and it's another opportunity for us to take and share the gospel with them and help these students grow closer to God and put their faith and trust in Christ as students there. We have other ministries that we're involved in, but so I don't use up too much time. I want to just kind of close with an idea of prayer requests. Alta Ruta is one of our prayer requests. That's why I saved it for last. We need to like you to pray for leaders. Actually, they basically kind of aren't doing it right now while we're gone. We're going back in a couple weeks, and we'll be getting it started up again. But pray for leaders that can help us. The group is growing. We've had, at some nights, over 50, 55 students or youth with us on a Friday night. So pray for leaders that can help us, that can get in there active and run and play and have the energy to use with this group. Another prayer request is transportation. We have, if you followed our prayer letters, and they asked about it earlier also, we have taken some vans and shipped them to Peru, one for Kathy's brother Andy and his family, and then one for us also. It was cheaper to buy it here in the States and ship it down to Peru than trying to buy older van in Peru. It's there, but it's stuck. It's been in customs now for a year and a half, and we have no idea if it's going to get out. We're praying and hoping it'll be out before we get back, but we've been praying and hoping it'll be out for the last year and a half. So that's a prayer request. We have a little Subaru, a little car that we've been driving, and when we first got there, our four girls fit really nice in the back seat. Four girls. Now the oldest is 14, 12, and the two twins are 10, so it's getting a little crowded back there. But pray for us. Our car died just as right after we left Peru. Her brother was driving it, and something broke up in the front end. But that's a prayer request. Pray for transportation in Peru. The car's getting fixed now, and it shouldn't be too expensive, hopefully, to get it working again. But pray for our van. But it's in reality, it's exciting for us to have something that we have to pray for. Our girls have seen a lot of answer to prayer, but this is kind of a shocker for our girls. It's like, well, we've been praying for it. Why isn't God helping us? But continue to pray for it, because we know God's in charge, God's in control. That's one of the different things we'd like to pray for there. I'll go ahead and close in prayer and turn it back over to the pastor. And again, just like to thank you for praying for us and supporting us. And it's encouraging for us to come into a church and have people before the service come up, I remember you, and remember where we've come, where we are as missionaries, although we're not in Brazil, but we have a lot of people remember where we are and remember our girls and actually remember how small they were and surprised when they see the prayer cards. So we do have prayer cards. We put some on the table out back, and I have some with me if you'd like a prayer card. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I would just like to thank you for the opportunity to be a missionary to Peru and sent out sent there and have a church support us like this church and pray for us and keep contact with us. I pray that you use the information this evening to encourage and help in missions and to be involved in missions and continue to bless Kathy and I. I pray you help us in Peru to have many, many more years. In Peru. And thank you for your love. Thank you for the service. In your name we pray. Amen. Pastor, thank you.
Okay, I see that we have a couple minutes, and this seems altogether fitting that the two of you should stand here and answer some questions for us. So come on up here. And I have one microphone. Is that, maybe I can find another one here. Okay, so have you got any questions? We're going to take an offering in a second, but have you got any questions that you've been thinking about asking?
If it's about Brazil, I'm not answering it. But if you have any questions, if you use the microphone again.
Okay, so you've been 8 years in Peru and everything. What kinds of changes have you noticed in the 8 years that you've been there? What kind of political, economic, other kinds of changes?
Actually, with Peru, it's the first time I went to visit Peru was over about 20 years ago, and it was during the time of terrorism and 1,000% inflation. The country was completely backwards. And so jumping back a little bit further, it's amazing where we are now. It's a very stable country. And even now with the world today and the economic situation that everybody's struggling, Peru is one of the few countries that has continued to strengthen and continue to go up, which is really good for Peru, but actually kind of hurts really hard for us because it's like our support level is dropping as the Peruvian economy continues to climb. Another thing that has continued to climb is the country is completely different. There's a lot of restaurants that you wouldn't be able to get before. I think there's a KFC and a Pizza Hut. And just a couple of those, now you can just get about anything. Chili's, Tony Roma's, McDonald's. Taco Bell was there, but then that didn't work, and they didn't last very long. But different restaurants do good.
By the way, the Peruvian food is nothing like Mexican food. So
yeah, it's a little too far south. Yeah. wonderful food, but a little bit different. But the price of land. We had looked at land, actually priced land with the idea of maybe buying something when we first got there. We didn't have any money, but we looked at it. The land is more than quadrupled in cost. It's just amazing the cost of land in Peru.
Okay. I don't think Kathy should be allowed to come and not have an opportunity to share. So tell us about your family and what kinds of ministries are you able to do? I know your family's a priority, though.
Okay. My parents have been in Peru for 43 years. They went to mission field 44 years ago, went to Bolivia first for language school. So I was born there and had the privilege of growing up there. I have one sister and three brothers. My three younger brothers were also born in Peru. So I was telling the Sunday school class this morning, I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and I was reading a book, and I saw something about an MK in there. And I took it to my mom, and I said, "What's an MK?" And she's like, "Well, you're an MK, you know." So it was just a great way to grow up. We don't have any regrets, and now I just feel really privileged to raise my four girls there. They enjoy coming back to the States to see everyone and to go to Walmart and to do things like that, but they're all ready to go back to Peru also. I have a really fun time because I'm able to work, since my four girls are in school, I'm able to work with the moms at school. I'm involved with the ladies' Bible study at church. We have a ladies' Bible study every week, every Wednesday. We run about 80 ladies, somewhere like that. And I am able to teach some there. But mostly I work at the school with the moms, and I've done different things. I've been able to do like child training classes. Of course, I always tell them, okay, we're in this together because I'm still learning. Please don't just, you know, judge me on my girls. We're working together here. But, you know, they're always interested, just like I am, you know, on trying to learn more on how to raise my children and have a good marriage. And so using those ideas, child training and marriage, I'm able to do classes. And we have a set class every Thursday morning where the moms actually sign up for the class. They come to school. We start out with a prayer time. A parent prayer time where men can go also, where we pray for each student. Every Thursday morning we pray for each student and every one of the personnel by name. And then we go right into a class, and I have invited speakers and stuff. And so that's one of my main things, is working with the moms. And then Rick and I do a lot of counseling. We are doing a little less now because we've had two pastors that are now helping us, but we've been able to do a lot of counseling with the church. With the school also.
Okay. Anyone think of a question you'd like to ask them? Okay, Bill?
Tell us a little bit about the size of the school, the size of the church, and also your new facility.
Okay. Yes, thank you. The church, we have two services, but in total I think they run about 650 to 700. And one of the things I had in my plan to mention is that we just started a new church out of our church, and we took basically 40 to 50 of the members, 40 members, ended up being about 50 that went, out of our church, and we had a church split. We took them and we split them off and started a brand new church, and they met in a casino, a police casino. It was just a meeting room, until we finished the building for the school. And we've just finished our building and moved into a new building, the first phase of a new building for the school. And they are now meeting there with the new church also. And we're with Tom, and he gave an update of this just on Wednesday. But he said that they basically lost 50 key family members from their church,
and have already, and that was just earlier this year, a few months ago, have already gone back up to 650 in the church roll. So it's like, you know, it was time. It was ready for them to go, and then the church has already grown. Again, and that new church is running at, between 80, and they've actually up to 100, and now at the new facilities. Our school runs, we have 320 students in our school. We had 50 new students in the school this last year. So anytime you say 50 new students, a lot of those are new opportunities, new families that, again, don't know what they're getting into, don't know what Christian school is. And so open doors, opportunities to share the gospel with them and their families. And so it continues to grow. Now that we have the new facility, and I have a brochure on the table out back also that gives a little bit numbers, a little bit about the new facility. We have basically completed phase one, which we were able to do a lot more than we were expecting, but we still have in the future a couple more phases to do for the school. It's in Peru, we go from P3, K4, K5, all the way through 11th grade. In Peru, you don't have a 12th grade, so high school is technically 7th through 11th. 5 years of high school, 7th through 11th. So,
although our students do 6 years of schooling in those 5 years. So any of our students that graduate in 11th grade can go into any college here in the States because they get enough credits and everything. Wow. They just work really hard during that time.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, yes.
Don't have a good grasp of what the Christian school is about. What is it that draws them?
It's academics and English. A lot of it's academics and English. Since it is geared towards an upper middle class, a lot of the upper middle class are looking for private schools because the public school is not real solid in Peru. And so there's different academic-wise, a lot of different schools, but that's what draws them is the English, being taught by English native English speakers. And then also just the academics are really good. And then all the curriculum, everything we do is Bible-centric, you know. And so it ends up being, again, discipleship.
Okay. Yeah, Sharers?
Your wife was a missionary kid. Where did you meet her? And give me a little brief of your history. Where are you from? Where did you go to school?
Okay, good. I'm from New Mexico. I grew up in New Mexico, and I met my wife. She went to Pensacola Christian School College and graduated without getting married, which is good. And and she moved to New Mexico, stayed with her grandmother for a year to pay off her school bill, and then she'd already committed to go back to Peru as a single missionary for 2 years. Well, her grandmother just happened to live right next door to my best friend. And so we put together a Bible study and got to know her that way. After I met her, I went to Pensacola also. And so while she was in Peru as a single missionary for a year, I was starting school in Pensacola. And then we got married and finished out going to school. So I was a married town student for the last 3 years in Pensacola Christian College. I think there was another question up.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes, all the way about me.
About a year ago, a missionary from Mexico came and said that the true test of a missionary's ability to be immersed is ability to order pizza. And whenever a missionary comes through, we should ask him, is he able to order pizza in this country? Some of y'all may remember that. Are you able to order pizza?
My wife orders it for me. But yes, we can get pizza in Peru. And it's delivered on motorcycles and is very quick, very cool.
Well, unless it's a low-fat option, I'm not allowed to have it, so I'm just telling you. Anyone else? Okay, Roger.
Kathy said this morning she grew up in the mountains. When did your parents move down to La Colina and start school there?
Yes, we lived up in a mountain town about 12,000 feet above sea level, a little town, and we were the only missionaries for a long time in that area. And my mom homeschooled the five of us. And when I was in 10th grade, my sister and I moved to Lima and lived with another missionary family there and to be able to go to a missionary kids school. But my mom did not feel like she could really teach the math and science. She hadn't even actually finished college at the time. Since then, she's gotten her master's. But at that time, she hadn't even finished college yet. And so they basically moved to Lima in 85, we all moved to Lima then together in 85 to basically to be able to go to the missionary kids school. My dad did not want to go to Lima. He hated Lima. He could fish a lot in the mountains, and he did not want to go to Lima. And so he fought it for a long time, but he knew there was really no other choice. And my mom was sharing the other day with some in a meeting we were having, you know, that she was really struggling because they were in Lima, but he would kept going to the mountains. He didn't want to be in Lima. So one day he was in the mountains and he was preaching about Jonah and he got convicted. So he went back and he was okay, you know, we'll be here, because he didn't want to start a church. He didn't want to do anything in Lima. He was like, we all just visit churches. I'm just going to keep visiting the mountains and preach there. And that's when we moved to Lima. And so we went from working with lower class people, semi-educated, very mountain people, very hick people, really nice people, to going and moving into an area of Lima and working with upper class people. It was quite the shocker, and especially, you know, for my parents. It was just really interesting, but it has been such a blessing. What happened is when we got to Lima, my mom really didn't have anything to do since my dad wasn't really settled yet. And, she started meeting some ladies and they started a Bible study. She decided to start a Bible study in our house. And on Wednesday mornings, which is the same Bible study that now is running about 80, 100 ladies every week. And these ladies were getting saved, but then they'd say, well, where can we go to church? And like Rick mentioned, they would not go to the lower class churches. Not, you know, it is a built-in thing. You know, they just don't associate. And so they're like, well, we want to take our families to church, but where can we go to church? And so my parents started a Sunday night Bible study in our house. And the first night there were 30 people there. And that first night, since it was at our house, they were like, well, we want to teach them to give an offering, but they're in our house. We don't want them to feel like they're paying our rent or anything. You know, we don't have any expenses. So from the very first night, they started, supporting missionaries in the very first night. And see, in Peru, most of the churches, since they're for the poor people, really, this is a mistake, but we're not taught to support missionaries. So the churches are not very missions minded, because I think people, you know, just kind of felt sorry for the poor people and didn't really teach them to give. So it's a new movement that we're trying to get going in Peru now, is to get even the lower class churches to support missionaries. So they were able to start right at the beginning.
Thank you. Thank you much. And I think we're going to take an offering, and afterwards you'll have a chance to catch up more with them. Thank you for being with us. We'll ask our men to come. And this offering, unless otherwise designated, goes to the Andersons for Peru. Gracious Father, for this couple, we thank you, and for the wonderful work that they are doing. Pray that we'll give a good offering to honor you above all else. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a couple of items of prayer. We've been praying particularly for Carol and for Dan, and they're not, I don't think, approved to receive any more chemo. And so this is, I think, this heightens their situation at this time. but it puts her, puts Carol, and puts Dan right where all of us are. We're in the hands of God, and so we pray. Carol's been praying for 5 years. We've been praying right with her, so we continue to pray for that. Bob Maury, they tell me maybe Tuesday he's going to get out, so out of Siskin, so we pray particularly for him. And let me also mention Alan. Alan, raise your hand. Okay, Alan is going to have an arteriogram. They have. He tells me that he flunked his stress test, and so I've been there, done that. And so anyway, there's a possibility of some stents and so forth. And so I think he's nervous about it, and I can remember being a little concerned about it. I had one or two questions. The medicine that they give you, they tell you, knocks you out, and you don't, you know, you're not very alert or anything like that. Actually, they said I never shut up the whole procedure, and that comes as a shock to many of you, I know. But I don't remember all the conversations, but we pray for Alan here in just a moment, and then we're going to pray about this van. That the Lord will get those vans out of customs and everything. You hate to see them rusting back there and not have a chance to be put back into the ministry. And I've got a son that's going to Djibouti tomorrow, and so he's going to be there for 6 months. And so you pray for Peter. That's in the Eastern Horn of Africa. And so I don't know what he's going to be doing. And other than they want a C-17 pilot to be there, so he's going to be there. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the Andersons, and this is a terrific request that they have about these vehicles, Father. I pray that you just stir the minds and hearts of these customs officials, that they would release them, and that you would allow them to have this transportation. We thank you for their faithfulness and their willingness to go and to serve. Father, I pray for Alan as he's going to have this test. Father, calm his heart and strengthen him and encourage him at this time. And then we pray for Peter as he's making the trip, and for his wife and son, that you will strengthen them as he's away, and that you'll watch over and protect them. Father, we have many, many others that are deployed and have faced this, and so we pray particularly for them. I pray for Evan, and I pray for Drew as they continue their work with the Air Force. Thank you for all that you're doing and for your love and care in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.